my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I am one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, it's our Patreon pick and good friend, Math. Not with an S, by the way. I apologise, Math. I do apologise. Because we cover Math's Married at First Sight, which is about to start again in the UK soon. And that's all we ever talked about. Hello. Yay. Anyway, here's pick, Dave. A Stephen King horror movie from 1992, which I'd never ever seen or heard of, called Sleepwalkers. So, Dave, do you remember anything about this one?
Absolutely square root of fuck all, Chris. So I did not know anything about this one. Now, I'll just give a little plug for another little side thing. So obviously part of Comics in Motion, where we cut our teeth, part of that spun out Star Wars comics in canon. And myself, Math, and Mike Burton, creator of Star Wars comics in canon, did a whole retrospective. We went back to the Rebels animated series. So there's four seasons, and we'd basically do an episode where we'd review and chat about the whole season. And we were just having one of those after recording chats. And he said, you know, he's umming and ahhing about this. And then he said, oh, he's thinking about this Sleepwalkers. And he sent the trailer. I was like, God, this looks horrendous. Yeah, I love it. So that was the first exposure to it. But I do remember, you know, having a bit of a Stephen King phase. You know, we're watching that 1998 Pet Sematary, things like that. It seemed to be there was this spate of like low budget Stephen King adaptations. And so I'm a bit surprised going back, but if you remember, Chris, from our many conversations, 1992, that's about the time of my kind of, that was the apex of my, switched my kind of movie watching habits, and I ended up, you know, post Reservoir Dogs, trying to watch things a bit more, I want to say adult, Chris, but not those kind of adult movies, but maybe, you know, if they were on. So that's a weird tangent. Yes, absolutely nothing, Chris. But I was intrigued because, you know, like I say, watched a few Stephen King things. Watched the recent remake of It, you know, parts one and two the other week, literally. So yeah, I couldn't wait to get into this one. How about yourself, Chris?
No, I've never even heard of this one or seen even the VHS or anything like that. And I think I said to you, I've got a couple of Stephen Kings up my sleeve. And funny enough, Dave, for someone who hates horror, I did see both of the recent It movies in the cinema because James McAvoy's in the second one, isn't he? I think they might be three, you know, whichever
time
way they're
float.
In. Yeah. The first one with Tim Thingy's just fucking, oh, hated that down the, I've seen that as well, which is weird. But yeah, no, I've never seen anything of this. I did, when we played the trailer and I watched the trailer, I did sort of recognise the main actor, is it Charles Brady? I was like, because he's a good looking kid, he, you know, I thought he's got a bit of a Heath Ledger look about him, you know, obviously 10 years before Heath Ledger hit the big time, really, but yeah.
Did you think so? So I didn't think he was that good looking. Now, I think he's one of those, he got better looking as he got older. He was in Charmed, Chris. You ever watched Charmed?
No, never seen that. That's a witch thing, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I used to like a bit of Charmed, to be honest. Alyssa Milano, definitely had a crush on her. But yeah, so he was in that. But I was thinking he looked like a... You remember Robson and Jerome?
Oh, Jerome, yeah. Yeah, with the flat nose. He has got a boxer's nose, actually, yeah.
It's
true, that, yeah. Yeah.
It looks like an early incarnation. What's the guy off Voldemort?
Voldemort.
So, you know, I'm saying Tom that Riddle, like a fucking Brad Pitt myself. But
Hey, don't put yourself down, but, Dave. Yeah. We are the men of podcasting.
But yeah, that's why we're podcasting, not YouTube. But
good point. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where I recognized him from, was Charmed. And the reason I say, I mean, he is probably a decent looking bloke, but this is quite a beautiful cast, though, I'd have to say, Chris. And so that, for that reason, I just thought he, you know, if you cast like a Brad Pitt or something like that, it would be more in fitting with the other actors on the show. That's kind of why I thought that.
No, you know what, as well, it's interesting because I think you're right from the side. He looks like he's been hit far too many times. He does look like a boxer, but there's just certain looks. You know when he's, is it that, I've never really seen it, but that one where Heath Ledger's The Night, the one where it's like a comedy one.
First Night. I fucking love that, Chris. That was really good.
I've never seen it. Yeah,
That's now on my list.
Oh, well, put it on the list, Dave. But I've got a story, Dave, nothing to do with, I forgot to tell you this, but this is very important. So you may have seen on my social media that I've been at Loggerheads with Sports Direct, Dave. I did send you the picture. So I just need to get this off my chest. Okay. So I put it in our WhatsApp group, me, you and Ben, the other week. But basically, I've been telling Dave, everyone, about these flip-flop stroke clogs that I bought. Adidas ones, by the way. Do they have Adidas? So I was telling you about this just before we started
very
recording.
Classy.
Classy, yeah. Well,
Adidas Crocs.
Adidas Crocs, you know what I mean?
Classy, yeah.
Yeah, Sam and Jordan are just completely like, we're not standing with you by the pool. I said, but these are comfy. I can manoeuvre. I can get a couple of drinks and stuff, you know.
So can I just interject for a second, Chris? Because I have to point out there might be a generational thing here. I mean, we're speaking on the right podcast for that, but you and I both say Adidas, right?
Yeah.
My kids fucking laugh at me. Like, what are you talking about, Adidas? It's Adidas. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's fucking Adidas. I was here first.
Yeah.
To me, it's Adidas. I just wonder, you know, it could be a Southern thing as well, to be fair, Chris. I mean, unfortunately, my kids are Southerners, I guess. But I just thought I'd point that out. But definitely, yeah, to me, it's Adidas. But when you just said it then, I was like, oh, I needed to mention that to you.
I've never heard that. You know what? I think, to be fair, I think when the Germans, it's their company, say, I think they say Adidas. And I think in America, they say Adidas. If you just watch that Jordan thing, Jump was it, whatever, this brilliant film, by the way, Ben Affleck, he's absolutely amazing, Matt Damon, what a film that is, and they call it Adidas, but however, Dave, Run DMC are not fucking wrong, because they call it My Adidas, so I'm going back to 1983 when they used to do it with no laces in, and I had the Superstars, but there you go, when I was older, but no, very quickly, nothing to do with this podcast, however, get these fucking sliders, right? Sports Direct. Not usually a fan of Sports Direct. Usually get snide fucking Adidas from them. They're usually at the bottom of the rung. JD Sports are better, usually. However, opened up my packet that I had them in. They came through the post. Took them out. Thought, oh, these look nice. Threw the right one on the floor. Went to throw the left one on. Fucking Stanley knife comes right out of the fucking bag. Goes right across my finger. Nearly, it was actually inside the left shoe. So if I'd not threw it on the floor, you know, because they're like foam, I'd have fucking stood in this Stanley knife. I don't know whether it was on there on purpose. So I'm like, right, you bastards, I'm having you. DMs from fucking privately Sports Direct. Gone through all these things, sent all the pictures. The customer service is absolute shit. Can you give me a name? Are you the person who made the order? No, because I'm just making it up. My name's Chris Phelps. I've sent you the order with my name on your dick. So big kickoff day. This has gone on for weeks. You know what? They've come back to me, Dave, and this is why my castle is worth a lot of money. You know what they've given me, Dave, for nearly slicing my finger and foot off? a 10% off my next online order as a sign of goodwill, and they'll waive the fucking delivery £2 charge. Well, what the fucking do? What a load of shit, Dave. So there will be a ranting fucking tweet going on today. Absolute shysters. And that's obviously why he's a millionaire and I've got no fucking money, Dave. But anyway, back to Sleepwalkers. I had to I had to throw that in there. Shall we get into the trailer?
Let's go.
Charles Brady is new in town.
You can actually talk to him?
Yeah, he's nice.
Real nice.
The girls all like him. The teachers all respect him.
Your teachers in Ohio must have been sorry to lose such a creative young man.
The parents all trust him.
He's utterly charming.
But nobody really knows him like his mother.
You cannot be in love with this girl, Charles.
You don't know me, Tanya.
But I want to.
Behind their smile is a secret.
Hi.
Come in, Tanya. I have something for you.
I don't know who you are, but I know you're not who you say you are.
Behind the secret is a hunger.
Does it have to be her?
And behind it all is the imagination of Stephen King.
Somebody help me, please!
He killed one of my men.
He was scared of a cat.
Stephen King's Sleepwalkers.
Charles Brady and his mother lover, Mary, are sleepwalkers, nomadic shape-shifting energy vampires who feed off the life force of virgin women. Though they normally maintain a human form, they can transform into human-sized bipedal werecats, their natural form at will. They have powers of both telekinesis and illusion. Domestic cats are their only weakness. I don't know what Stephen King was smoking at this time, by the way. And the two species are mutually hostile. Cats see through their illusions and violently attack them, inflicting severe to fatal wounds on them with their claws and teeth. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Well, fucking nonsense. That's what makes me so... I will say, joking aside, that it does feel very TV movie. It feels like almost like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer thing. There's a bit more violence to it. And it's around 92, so I can sort of go with it because this is when I used to watch stuff like Beverly Hills 90210, you know, the high school stuff. Very, very pretty cast. All of them are good looking. I didn't actually mind it at the start, the first half hour or so. I'm like, you know, I can watch it and you can speed it up and that. And I thought, right, I'll put it at 1.5 speed because it's going to be a shit show. Within about 5 minutes, I was like, actually, no, I'm going to watch this. It seemed I was invested in this character, Charles Brady's character. I genuinely was invested in him because I was like, this is interesting, this. Brian, he's called him, Brian Krause. So I was interested. And the girl's really nice. She's really pretty, Alice. And then also her parents, Dave, realised who the dad was, Ferris Bueller's fucking dad. However, it's Ferris Bueller's mum as well.
It is, yeah.
So I didn't realise until researching it. I kept thinking, where do I recognise you? Which obviously had a hair cropped. But, yeah, honestly, the first half hour I was in, I thought, yeah, they've got this. It's a small, contained cast. It's working. But then it just, for me, fuck me. You've got it's within the first 5 minutes of this guy coming in, Brian coming into the school, and he's a really good looking guy and he's got his eye on Alice. And I'm thinking he's like the main hero. I know we had the trailer last week. I was thinking he's going to be a good guy. But then the fucking teacher is on the shakedown, isn't he? You know, straight away, the fucking teacher, at first I thought it was the guy out of Jurassic Park. You know, the one who's,
he does have a similar look.
Yeah, he has
he?
A look about him and he's just he's an absolute twat of a teacher. You're thinking, well, you're definitely going to die at some point. And he's got the blue Trans Am, Brian. So he starts chatting to her, takes her back to her house. And mum's a bit wary because I'm thinking, hang on a minute. It's not going to be like Teen Wolf here. Is her mum a fucking, some sort of fucking sleepwalker, alien, vampire thing, whatever she is? Because she's got her eye on him. And they go, and he's got the Trans Am, so respect the Trans Am. And this is the first 10 minutes or so. She's thinking, oh, great. All of a sudden, Brian goes, I'll tell you what, forget all this. I am just going to fucking drive down the road. And he's in a Trans Am. At the time, that Trans Am weren't fast because it was the smog rules in America. For the context of the movie, though, Dave, it's supposed to be a super fast car. There's a fucking white Beetle convertible chasing him, shaking him down. It's not the police, because I'm waiting for the police to come. It's a white fucking Beetle. And not even Herbie either, with 53 on. A fucking teacher decides to do a roadside shakedown on one of his students, Dave. Have you ever seen anything like it in any movie? You'd be getting done for fucking being a fucking pedo or something these days, shaking down a fucking student. And plus, to be fair, Brian looks about fucking 30 anyway, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But anyway, that's as far as I just thought that bit was hilarious when he did the shakedown on him.
Well, yeah. So the teacher is played by Glenn Shaddix. And I was like, where do I know this guy from? And he's really distasteful. He's plays Mr. Fallows. So I don't know. There's like Fallows. He's a bit of a dick. I don't know if it's a play on that. But he was in Beetlejuice, which is where I recognized him from. And I was trying to think, has Chris watched Beetlejuice? I can't remember. No? Oh, my word. We're racking him up today. So, yeah. Let me come back to him. At the start, I do think it is pretty gruesome. I mean, you got all these fucking cats strung up. You know, it's pretty horrible. Now, I didn't spot this person, Chris, but there are a few cameos in this. But I think it's at the start, and I need to go back and watch it. But one of the sheriffs is only Mark Hamill.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So I didn't see that.
I'm not sure if it's the guy with the tash, and, you know, he's hidden quite well. So I didn't spot him. It was just going through the research after. I was like, fucking hell, Mark Hamill. So, you know, decent old cast in this one. And you're like, well, what the fuck is going on here? You know, there's someone obviously doesn't like cats, and it is pretty gruesome. And then you got different things going on. You got this like psycho, like, you know, half mummified body in the closet kind of thing. So it starts off a bit creepy before we even meet Brian. You know, so. Or Charles, sorry. Brian Krause's actual name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Charles Brady. But then it gets a bit Twilight, doesn't it? You know, it starts off like that kind of shit. Like, you know, new guy at school, and then only the most stunning woman in the world, you know, who's going to the school at the time. So her name is Majkin Amick. You know, and she's just like, oh, what a lovely poem, what a lovely story, or whatever it was. And you're like, okay, where is this going kind of thing? But like you say, he comes across like this nice guy. But then when the teacher gives him a shakedown, and I'm thinking, I just don't know on what planet this is supposed to be. But I'm like, the teacher's going to get all fucking deliverance on him here.
Yeah.
I think what his intention is. But at that moment, and he sort of chops his hand off, doesn't he? Or rips his hand off or whatever. He goes from this nice guy, or at least playing this nice guy, to just a massive dick. Like, just an absolute arsehole. And then you've got this chase going on, and like you say, this ridiculous mismatch. But you know, for the movie, it's got to be a sort of chase sort of thing. And then it's like he's hidden the whole car, and then I'm thinking, all right, Stephen King, bit of a legend. If you think of a horror author, you think Stephen King, don't you? Before
yes.
anyone else,
100%.
He is the most world-renowned. But I'm like, hang about. These fucking shape-shifting... First of all, they can shape-shift. Okay. Then they can make themselves invisible. Okay. Then they can make other shit invisible as well. Right, okay. Then they can change cars from one car to a fucking other. I'm like, just fuck off. This is lazy fucking writing, this is. They can just do anything. Just imagine it. And Chris, I feel ridiculous saying this about Stephen King, but I'm almost like, this one has been written in crayon, or this is fucking written in between other things that he really cares about or something. But this just seems really lazy. Like Carrie, right? She had telekinetic powers. That was her one thing. Everything else is grounded in reality, but you take this one thing and then you make that extraordinary and you build a story around that. And just the array, the buffet of fucking powers, but their weakness is fucking cats. I'm just like, this is utter nonsense. Now, I say that, I'm having a go at the writing and stuff, but that's not to say I wasn't enjoying it. Definitely agree, had that TV movie quality to it. So, you know, you're not expecting big things. Even that It adaptation in 90 was quite TV movie. So I was okay with all of that. It sort of takes a turn with the teacher, but you're like, well, he's a bit of a prick, sort of deserved it, not a terrible thing. Chris, I'm going to point out one of the more insignificant for plot stories, but when you mentioned about Charles meeting Tanya, she's doing the old dancing away, isn't she? She's working at the cinema. Yeah. And she's dancing away. It's like, do you love me? And I'm thinking, Dirty Dancing. That's such a great song. And I'm thinking, really? A teenager is going to be listening to, like, that rock or sort of 50s rock music or something. I thought it was bizarre, but I thought it was quite a cool, iconic scene, even though I thought it was ridiculously overacted. No one would ever do that. I thought that was good.
Yeah, you know what, Dave, I'm with you. It's utterly ridiculous. You'd say the wishy-washy, and I don't usually go into like how they pull these things off, but that for me, when the cop's there with his cat conveniently, you know, in his car, and he's chatting away. And when
star of the show, by
he's
the way.
He's the best actor.
Clovis.
Oh, she is. Yeah, Clovis. But when he's chasing him, and obviously he looks over and they're doing like, as he says, I'm doing 90. And then the cat gets up and his face just changes. The CGI is fucking terrible. It's absolutely awful. The whole background just changes. You can clearly see it's done, which you would have to be put.
Apparently, Chris, do have a little bit of trivia here. Same kind of CGI technology that was used in Michael Jackson's Black or White video.
Ah, okay. I'd say Michael Jackson did a better job. Well, yeah, I'd probably say that was a better job, but it's terrible, that bit. But you're right. So he ends up shooting off, and the cop goes, oh my God, he must have a supercharger in there. And the Trans Am goes off, but he's not that far in front. But what happens is the Trans Am sort of goes around this weird bend, pulls up. He then does this thing like he's having a shit, like he's constipated, and he's going, and then the car disappears. This goes on for about a minute. And then the cop comes round and pulls up at exactly the same spot and goes, I don't believe it. I've lost him. Where's he gone? You were miles away. This guy, the context of like time and speed of the cars, there is no way that cop wouldn't have caught him within like 10 seconds. But we get this whole thing where he's hidden the car. And then like you say, the cat pops up and we see this red screen, the Trans Am's there. And he's like, don't look at me. Don't look at me, you know, to the cat. And then he drives off in the cop car. But the whole time he's chasing this guy, he doesn't put his siren on and he doesn't put the fucking lights on. The only time he puts the lights on is after he's lost him, and then the light goes on as he's driving off. It's not on once in that car chase at all. No, because it could have been anybody about, you know, to give people warning, there's a cop car coming through. There is no context to that. But you're right. It changes from a Trans Am to a convertible 1965 fucking Mustang, and it's red. And he's like, what the fuck? But you're right. You're right. I'm calling him fucking Brian. He's his real name. Charles, got that wrong. Charles is the character. But Charles is a likable guy. But even when he kills the teacher, I'm like, he's actually not a bad guy. The teacher's a prick anyway. Is he like sort of a good guy? But then we meet his mother, who is also fucking Dave. So it takes another fucking turn. But that is bizarre. She needs fucking like a virgin, doesn't she, for her powers, for whatever, feeding her. And then it just turns, he's just a bad guy then through the movie. So it's very strange, because I think what would have been better was to lay Charles up almost Lost Boys style. You know, when it sort of, you don't see anything until at least halfway, maybe an hour into the movie, and he's sort of being forced by his mum, but then he's a redeeming, there could have been a story arc for him where he redeems himself. You know, he still get killed, but he redeems himself. But no, it's just, he's the baddie. But I'm with you, I didn't actually hate it. I actually quite enjoyed it, and I didn't speed it up. It's an hour and a half. It's just stupid, because they just do, you're watching it going,
how have they even got away with this? And I will say, Dave, I know Stephen King's world-renowned, and he's more his books than anything, but this stuff, like I've said to you, like Maximum Overdrive, I love Duel as well, that's a great movie. Maximum Overdrive is fucking terrible. Christine, I've got in the back pocket, even though I don't like horror movies, I've got these movies, they're all sort of based around cars and trucks, that's probably why I've watched them, but like I say, Maximum Overdrive is fucking terrible. I think it's like 15%, and it might be the way it's translated on screen, but a lot of his books have gone. There's not many of them that have been like, wow, this is amazing. It is probably the standout one. There's probably a couple of others, but they're not like, and Christine is reviewed well, but the others, there's some terrible, this is fucking awful if he's written this in a book about a cat. I mean, I don't like cats anyway. I've got a cat here. I'm allergic. I'm not a big fan of cats, but I was just like, what the? Because Sam come in when I was watching, and she's like, why can I hear a cat sound? You hate cats. I went, I know, it's something to do with a film I'm watching. She went, oh, I bet you're hating every minute of this. I went, yeah, I am actually, yeah. Laughing, but I wasn't actually.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's slightly ridiculous, isn't it? You got a couple of random blokes on a podcast talking and criticizing Stephen King, but I actually think you had a really good point there that if Charles had been a bit more conflicted, I think that would have made for a more interesting story, you know. So the mum, you know, if she's portrayed as the controlling one, and ultimately they need to feed, don't they? So it doesn't necessarily make them evil. So you have some kind of conflict with him. You know, I think that would have made it better. But it was like a switch. He was just a mustache-twirling villain. Like, as soon as he turns, that's it. He's just an absolute dick. You know, so I think it could have been better. And this was not, you know, the most well-crafted story there is. But Chris, we have sort of danced around this, but obviously he's having a bit with his mum.
As you do, yeah.
Now, when it starts, the interaction with them, I'm like, oh, little bit of suggested kind of sexual tension between him and his mum. And lady plays, Alex Cridge, I think it's pronounced, actually played a few years after this, the Borg Queen in Star Trek First Contact. I'm definitely going to subject you to that one day. You know, I didn't think she was the way she was all made up and that, I didn't particularly think she was attractive in that. Definitely attractive in this. But yeah, it went from that feeling of, oh, bit of implied sauciness there, to full-on fucking, Chris.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I didn't expect that. But before I ask, I'm sure you've got an opinion on this. I do have some words from the man himself. I do have some words from Math. So here we go. So, Sleepwalker, really hope you enjoyed it. Look, I know it's not the best film, and it was hard to pick between this and the Denzel Washington film Fallen. Kind of wish it had gone the other way, to be honest. But now, Fallen is a great film, so the obvious choice, you would think. But this has more of the VHS Strikes Back feel. And also, there are a few scenes in the film that Chris might like. However, 80s and 90s parents. My mum suggested to watch this back in the day. She was a massive Stephen King fan, and we had to watch the likes of Pet Sematary, It, Shining, Misery, all great films. Then this. First, it's a bang average teenage romance killer film, but how awkward is it for a 14, 15-year-old sat there watching this with his mum?
Yeah.
And then the son and the mother decided to have relations with each other. I remember turning to look out the window, trying to avoid looking to my mum, hearing her saying, well, this took a turn. Pure smut. We won't recommend this to your dad and sister to watch late. Although you most likely won't have the same awkward moment. I feel I had to share my pain. Appreciate that, mate. Great show, guys. Love being able to go back to some gems from back in the day. Next time, I'll pick something better. Maybe. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to Maff's awkward moment there?
Fucking brilliant. We've all been there, haven't we?
Childhood trauma, I guess.
Yeah, childhood trauma. No, and it's good that you shared that, because we've laughed, haven't we? Like, I always go, I've told that one, the Pulp Fiction story, things like that. It's just like, oh my God, please kill me now, you know? Like, but it is, it's one of them things where you don't know what you're going into. And I think that was the roulette of watching different movies, because we never really had, like, the internet. You never had like that sort of don't watch this movie, did you? You would go in the video shop, and unless it was in the papers at weekend and it was like a mainstream film, like this, you've got to watch, you know, Empire Strikes Back or fucking Titanic or whatever. The internet was there.
Chris, you stayed up late to watch Barry Norman give his opinion.
Yes, that's very true, actually, Dave. But I was usually in bed by then, but you are correct. Yeah. But you wouldn't get these sort of movies on Barry Norman, actually. So you would never know. So obviously what's probably happened is they've gone in the video show and got Stephen King. Oh, I love Stephen King movies. Yeah. You know, his books. Let's watch this one. And you don't know what the fuck you're walking into. So very similar thing. We've all been there. And I must admit, you can look back now and go, holy shit, have I been embarrassed? You know, there's a sex scene. I remember being on Grandad, they just fast forward it. Like, we're not watching that. And I'd be like, no, let's fucking watch it in my head. Because really, I need all this fucking, you know, any nakedness will do me fine when I'm on my own.
In the bank.
Yeah, I need a fucking, for the fucking, the bank wank. I need to fucking store it. Please, at least let's see some flesh. You know, it gets that bad. You start trawling the fucking daytime TV for like someone sort of leaning over for a bit of a cleavage shot day. That's how bad it used to be. You know how many times I watched Madonna's fucking video?
The Littlewoods catalogue.
Yeah, the Littlewoods catalogue. You know how bad it was in the early 90s, Dave, when you had fuck all? I remember watching that fucking Aerosmith song, which is a bit weird because Liv Tyler's in it and Alicia Silverstone.
Oh, yes,
fuck
I remember
me.
That.
I have, there's a bit there where they're getting soaked in water. Oh, my God. And then the Madonna one. Where she's fucking the Madonna one, I can't remember the fucking song. It's a bit like the fucking Spice Girls one song, but she's doing the bull riding thing or something. She's literally got fuck on, Dave. I have watched them so many times as a kid. They come on MTV, keys in the door, nobody's in, hopefully. Or if there is, if there's someone upstairs, let's try and sneak a quick danger wank out before someone comes down the stairs. The desperation of stuff like that as a kid when you're going through it is fucking brilliant. It's absolutely.
So I think given that's the bar, I'm guessing then if a young Chris would have watched this one, this would have been in the bank.
Oh, yeah, 100%, 100%. But I do agree with Matthew. He's like, why would you even put that in? I think the controlling side and coercive side of his mum was enough. Give it a little bit of, oh, that's a bit strange, because he's like nuzzling it into a chest, and it's almost like he's still a child, you know, one of them sort of things. I get it.
Bitty.
Yeah, but they... Brent, you fucker. That sounded like Brent. And then you've got this whole thing then, and then he goes on a date with her, with Tanya, and then he gets this thing when he's kissing her, and I'm like, is his tongue fucking, and then he's like this little fucking orb thing comes out of her, or he's, you know, like he's
almost just withdrawing a life force, yeah, or something, isn't he?
Yeah, you're right. It's like anything we can throw in there to make this make sense, we're just throwing in there. I mean, I was half expecting the fucking Death Star to appear and him just start fucking shooting people. They were just throwing anything at the wall on this to try and make it make sense. And then, obviously, he fucking tries to get her. She ends up hitting him with a corkscrew. And then the fucking deputy who, like, chased him, he takes one for the team, but then his cat comes out like he's fucking some fucking ninja and just starts fucking thrashing at him. I mean, the pretense of a fucking cat being able to take down this being, this like fucking whatever he's supposed to be, you know, I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense, because cats are terrible. You can grab them by the neck and just fucking move them away. That's what the parents used to do when they were... Now, Dave, let me just explain what I mean there. I don't mean like I pick my cat up. But what you say is with a cat, when they were younger, like a dog, you should the mums grab them by the skin behind their ears there, you know, like where the neck is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's like a discipline thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So my cat, when it was being naughty, when it was a kitten, I remember watching some of that, and I never picked it. But if you did that, they would just stop. And the dog used to do it, and that Caesar fucking Milan guy used to say, like, that's what they would do to discipline him and all this. You know, you reassure him by rubbing him under their actual chin, not on the head. They said you should always rub a dog under its, like, its belly, really, around that area, like its stomach, or like under its neck, because it's like a reassurance thing. But anyway, I'm fucking digging myself in for an RSPCA case here now, Dave. That wasn't how what I meant. However, I'm not a cat lover, but I can't buy that the cat is like some fucking ninja, Bruce Lee type fucking moves going down and that. But anyway, it fucking does. But what makes it worse is they all come to the point that it's obviously Charles and his fucking mum. And then they come to the house, Dave, and then we get fucking, you know, the Force. She does invisibility again and makes them both invisible while he's recovering. And it's just like, what the fuck is going on? I mean, these cats everywhere that are all stuck in these traps, but the cops don't seem to be bothered about the cats that are fucking, they've got cruelty going around this property. But then his mum then goes full on Dust Till Dawn then, doesn't she? She just basically, I was pissing myself. When his mum turns up at like Tanya's house and she slashes the dad and he gets it across the face and does that like, and then the next minute flips to the side. Like, it's not in context. The inertia of it isn't right. But when she grabs his fucking mum, and it's like an Arnie movie when he's or a Seagal movie where they throw him, and he throws the poor woman. She does. Yeah, the A-Team. Sorry, I was waiting for like Mr. T to throw someone above his head again. You only throw, he used to throw him through the sky. And she fucking levers it through the window. And I'm like, I've never seen a woman thrown from a fucking window in any movie ever. So I'll give it that. Yeah. That is fucking brilliant. But yeah, the mum goes full on fucking Terminator, fucking T-1000 at this point. All we needed was just to melt. He was on... out around the same time. It was just the end bit. I was out completely. I was just like, oh, fuck off. But the rest of it, I can buy and go with it. This bit, the end bit was just stupid, absolute. And the CGI got even worse.
Yeah, it did seem really bad, didn't it? But I guess they had some practical effects because they were like messing around with the way they changed. It was almost, Chris, it was almost like Red Dwarf levels.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
CGI. Yeah. When there was one with the polymorph. It was kind of that sort of same level, I think. You know, obviously, and that was a much lower budget thing. I think the point about the cat, it did look ridiculous. I mean, in comedies, Chris, where someone gets attacked by a cat or something. And then, you know, the camera pans away and you can see it's clearly a doll or something. Yeah. And then the actor's just writhing around. It was like that. And like you say, you've got this Bruce Lee cat that just jumps out. I mean, if cats don't like these shapeshifters, that's fair enough. But they don't, like, increase 10 times in strength and, like, just fucking launch for someone's face. And it was just utterly ridiculous. But what I found ridiculous as well is, I mean, Charles just goes full on, like, fucking rapist, doesn't he? It goes on for way too long, I think, that. It's quite uncomfortable. And then when she's home, actually, I got a little bit of a feel of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes.
You know, when Nancy's in the bath and stuff,
in
and
the
she
bath.
Closes her eyes. Yeah. So I wasn't sure if that was a direct take, because obviously this was, what, 8 years
ago? 10 years. So,
but yeah, like you say, she turns up the T-1000 and she starts taking some names. But before that, when the deputy, like, shoots him and stuff, again, this fucking lazy writing with the powers. Like, Charles just brushes off being, like, stabbed in the eye with a corkscrew and being shot and, like, you know, anything that would take a human down. He just brushes it off like it's nothing. But when he goes home to his mum, he's like, "Ugh, I'm dying."
Yeah.
It's like, well, which fucking one is it? Can you just brush it off? Or is it just convenient for the plot now that your mum's got to go on a rampage because you're dying, apparently? It's fucking weird.
It is weird. And it's also, why couldn't he have just gone, why couldn't she go and get another girl who's a virgin? Tanya was the one that they'd set the sights on, aren't they? There was no real reason why they picked her. He's at a fucking high school. He could have had his pick. And then even when he killed...
This wouldn't be in keeping, Chris. But just go to the fucking computer club at the school. Does it have to be a girl? You know, I guess it does. Yeah. You know, but just...
That's true. Sorry. That's true. Yeah. Anyway, let's move very swiftly on from that, David. But no, I do. I just think like the end's just stupid. And like, obviously, the cat saves the day. Clovis is the fucking hero. Clovis is basically Chuck Norris at the end because she saves the day, doesn't she? When Tanya's about, you know, they've took her body, kidnapped her. She impales, you know, she puts a finger in his eyes and he kills him. But then the mum still wants to fucking take it. And it's just stupid. Like I said, the last half hour for me, it ruined what was actually quite an enjoyable movie. But I love it also because it's just any old shit is coming in. There could have been anything at this point, anything from any other movie that's just been thrown in there. And I, you know, we could have almost had fucking Superman, red eye, fucking superpowers, you know, burning fucking people's, you know, Homelander style or whatever. But I think it's a great pick. I do, Dave, because I've had a good fun with this. But just as a movie, something I never would have watched. And I just cannot believe Stephen King. I hoped and pray, as everyone says, because I don't read books, but anyone who says the book's so much better than this, by Christ, I hope it was. Fucking hell, this is a really bad adaptation of one of his books.
I was going to say, I was expecting Magneto or Charles Xavier to turn up and then offer him a place at the school. So, and I, you know, just having all the powers, you know. So, utterly ridiculous. I'm assuming the book is better, but, you know, Stephen King, his endings are famously not great, are they? He's great at building that tension and everything, but I don't know if it's the adaptations or if it's books as well, but, you know, just the endings sort of fizzle out. And he even makes a joke of it in that second It. Yeah, he makes a cameo in this. Actually, there's a young Clive Barker in this as well. He's a guy who wrote Hellraiser, or The Hellbound Heart, as it was, before it got turned into the movie. Stephen King appears in this, but in It too, he's saying about the endings, because you mentioned James McAvoy. He's like an author. He plays the author character in this one. So it's actually Stephen King having a go at him about how his endings suck. So, you know, he's poking a little bit of fun, not at himself, but more the criticism he gets. But, I do think this is a great VHS pick. Utter nonsense. And love Matt's story about that fucking awkwardness. I mean, we can laugh about it now, and we discussed it in, like, what, less than a minute? But just think back to it for a moment. Just think how excruciatingly long that scene would have felt like it was going on for. And I love it. So yeah,
I'd probably be more worried at it. Sorry, Dave, go on.
No, I don't know if you were going to say that. It did cross my mind, Chris, because let me get Matt's message back up again. The way he wrote it. So, I remember turning to look out the window, trying to avoid looking at my mum, hearing her saying, "Well, this took a turn, pure smut. We won't recommend this to your dad and sister." I don't know why my mind is just like, is she sort of feeling the waters there?
Yes. I was going to say, if I'd have been in that situation,
or
I'd be
will we?
I was thinking along the lines of, imagine myself sat there watching it and then going, oh, fuck, I'm getting a fucking semi on here. What the fuck's going on?
This is very confusing. So
I'm never confused.
I'll tell you a really quick story, right, Chris? I was away with work, actually. And I'll make it a quick one. This isn't a Phelps one. Well, it sort of is a Phelps one, I guess. A few of us away, work colleagues and stuff, and we were staying in a place. We're up in Norway, so there's fuck all to do. We're up in the fjords, and I just had a few beers, bars closed. I mean, it is a very remote place, so it's not like you can even go on a walk or anything. It's fucking freezing, middle of winter. Flicking through the channels, and then one of my colleagues, little bit of a Phelps type character, I think it would be fair to say, he's flicking through the channels. He's like, fuck it.
Oh, yeah.
Some fucking Norwegian born on somewhere here. And he's getting on a bit. He's flicking through. And I'm not joking, Chris, that we landed on this channel and there was no nudity. There was no nothing. There was just the feel of a softcore porn movie. I don't know. I can't even remember. I can't picture it in my mind what it was. But I just remember thinking, that is almost like a sixth sense, because he stopped on the right channel, knew exactly, it was something like the dialogue. It might have been a fucking plumber turning up to, you know, fix someone's pipes or
something. You've got a leak.
And it was just like, I think this is it. And then, so he's got it on for a few minutes, and then it transpires, oh, yeah, it is. He literally, Chris, and I'm not exaggerating, he literally stood up and went, right, I'm really tired, I'm off to bed.
I thought he was going to get his cock out and go, fuck it, I'm having one here. That's what that was going to.
I was still fairly young back then, and I was thinking, this is a bit fucking weird, this. Like, you know, this is if I'm scouring for a bit of saucy porn time, I want to be on my own sort of thing, you know. So, yeah, but yeah, I still fucking remember that. It's just, right, I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah, I'm really tired. Yeah. Not wrong with that, Dave. Anyway, Dave, we've gone off on one there. Shall we get into our scores?
Let's go.
So, honestly, I've enjoyed this one. Math picked a great one, and the story's fucking brilliant, because I know we've all been in that situation, that awkwardness of just seeing fucking sex, especially the dynamic of this movie. Jesus. I think this is, it's well made, as in TV movie style, and it's something that I probably would have watched years. If it had been on, I probably would have watched it. I mean, obviously, the sex scene's a bonus. That's exactly where I would have paused it and done my little Chris Phelps trick of fast-forwarding past the sex scene in case anyone else puts it on and realise I wasn't having a wank. I'm genuinely invested in the movie. But it just falls apart at the end. The fucking superpowers. And the mum is just basically unbeatable, other than a fucking little pussy can fucking kill her, Dave. And I'm not... I've been waiting to say that all episode. Tell you what though, Dave, a fucking pussy can kill all of us. But anyway, so, no, genuinely, it's fucking, it's ridiculous that the cats are like the superheroes of this movie. What a strange idea. And all the superpower, the invisibility for me is just nonsense. It's not fucking Harry Potter and you've got the invisibility cloak. He makes a car invisible while he's in it and then fucking changes it like it's Christine. And that Dave, could be a throwback to some of his other movies. Like Christine doesn't necessarily change the style of car, but it gets smashed up and then makes itself look new and all that. I'll have to watch that at some point. It's a great film. But this is fucking bobbins, but I did enjoy it. So I think I'm going to put it in the middle, Dave, Hill Valley. It's stupid. And it's like Sam said, can we watch? I know you're thinking, do you want to watch? I'd probably watch it again. And I don't know why I'm saying that, because I should be like, no, but I probably would watch it again. It's just ridiculous. You won't watch a movie where they throw any superpower, any plot device to try and make it make sense. This is the movie. So yeah, great pick from Math for me.
Wow, I did not expect that. And I'm sure Math did not expect such a high accolade than that. The amount of great movies you put to the bottom or near the bottom and this one goes right in the middle, so very good. I agree I think there is something enjoyable about this. I guess it's part of the ridiculousness. I'm going to watch it again because I do need to sort of spot where Mark Hamill actually is. Like I say, I just read up that he's a sheriff and I think I know who he probably is, but I need to go and validate that. If I'd have watched this in 1992 as well, I agree. I would have enjoyed this very much, you know, in that same kind of vein of Stephen King. And it's like the Diet Coke of horror, isn't it? Stephen King stuff. It's like horror, but it's not like absolutely shit your pants, keep you awake at night horror. So, you know, it's just creepy, most of it. And so I think I would have really enjoyed it. I think, you know, I can't get over the shitty writing, though. The fact that someone has all the powers. And I think I could have forgiven almost everything. You know, the shape-shifting. Do you think of evolution, Chris? You know, and if you believe in that. But you believe in those theories that basically, you know, the giraffe like needs to stretch up, you know, to get the leaves or whatever. Well, actually, it's the ones who have the longer neck are able to reproduce. That's why, you know, evolution takes so long, you know, because the survival of the fittest, isn't it? So the ones who don't have as long a neck aren't able to survive and eat enough and aren't able to reproduce and whatever. So why would a fucking being who can make itself invisible need to shapeshift as well? I know I went on a rant there, but just the array of powers just really irritates me for some reason. It's one of those illogical, irrational things, but for whatever reason, it just annoys me because it just feels like it's lazy. It's just like, oh, we've got to this bit in the plot. Oh, he's got this fucking power as well. But the one that really gets on my nerves is the ability to change actual metal and machinery, actually change a car from one thing to another. You know, it just really bugs me that. So I think I'm going to try and park that off. I can't send it to the middle. This is not objectively a great movie at all. And so for me, it's an Elm Street. I think it is well worth a watch, especially if you're like a Stephen King completionist. And my daughter, like, she loves Stephen King stuff, and she's not watched this one. Not entirely sure I'll be recommending it for some of the saucy scenes. We definitely won't be watching it together. So, you know, I just think it is worth a watch. But, yeah, no higher than an Elm Street for me.
Fair enough, Dave. Brilliant. I did think when you were talking about like long necks and reproducing, it was some sort of euphemism, but I get it. I was thinking, all right, Dave, don't fucking throw the fucking thing in about my short neck. Well, there you go. next week's pick is by our good friend Justin, Dave. And we are going back to 1996, Dave. And again, it's a Chris Felt special. I've not seen this one, Dave, but we're going to be reviewing Bottle Rocket. So let's get into the trailer.
Preparation was good, you know. I think that's your specialty.
Thank you. Because if I said that one, it would sound like Brad.
Oh, Owen Wilson. Yeah.
It's the Owen brothers, isn't it?
Obviously, good quick.
It's the other Owen. It's the other Wilson. I can't remember what his name is. The slightly less good looking, less famous one.
You took the earrings?
Yeah, they look. Yeah, they both look. Luke Wilson.
He's sort of almost not really changed.
Three outstanding young men.
Actually, I've just realised that's his brother. He's got such a strange nose, Luke. Owen Wilson. Don't say anything about my nose, but yeah.
Potential getaway. Go.
I really want to be a part of this team. And I'm Robson and Jerome nose, hasn't he?
Yes.
He's had a good crack at some point.
That's good.
I've never seen him with short hair. It's very interesting. He's using big floppy hair like his brother has.
Yeah.
It's amazing how close his brother was to the old when you're not allowed to talk to her.
And my name's Dignan, man.
You in the army, yes?
No, I just have short hair.
We are a team.
I can't focus unless the gun is on the table. We just paid for it. Shut up, man.
Interesting. This one looks quite good, this.
We settle them with bare knuckles.
He is, isn't he?
All they ever wanted was to be wanted.
What are you putting that tape on your nose for?
Exactly.
Let's get lucky.
Even is
do exactly as I said. Let's move. Come on. Get one of those bags. A bigger one, you idiot. What do you think?
Don't call me an idiot, you punk.
Do you have bigger bags for atlases or dictionaries, sir?
I'll tell you something, kid. You've got the guts of a damn lion.
That is Mr. Henry.
Hey, Henry, how are you?
He is a very talented man.
James Caan, what a legend.
Recently passed away, I mean.
Oh, is he?
I don't know. Are you in?
Mm. I really don't want to do this robbery, you know? Man, neither do I.
You're breaking his heart.
Is that Jimmy Kimmel, that?
What were you thinking?
Not Jimmy Kimmel.
They're going to keep on trying.
Got it, man.
That's Jimmy Kimmel, isn't it?
We know it backwards and we know it forwards because we've done the legwork and we've done the research.
Until they get it right.
What are you doing here? You're always at lunch now.
Not always.
Yes, always.
From Johnny Law.
Did he give you the keys?
Pole vaulting, laughing gas, choppers. Can you see how incredible this is going to be? Excuse me. Are the explosives really necessary?
Wow. I think that might be a little bit of a gem.
Yeah, honestly, it looks like madcap sort of movie, but around this time, something like this. Yeah, interesting. So I'm looking forward to that, Dave, I'll be honest.
Yeah, no, it looks good. I'm just looking through the cast. I don't see
Jimmy Kimmel. No, he's not Jimmy on it, Kimmel. I don't think. No, but it looked like him.
It bloody looked like him, yeah.
Mm. Oh, it's good, that. That was good, that. I'm looking forward to this one now, then. Good pick. So, Dave, as all, oh, Ron Perlman's not in this one. He was in...
Oh, that's right. We didn't mention Ron Perlman. Didn't mention what an Ron absolute Perlman. Knob.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He was just fodder in the end, really, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, to be fair. Yeah, he was. But no, honestly, massive thank you, Math. Great pick today, mate. And I'm looking forward to that Bottle Rocket 100%. So if you want to email us, the vhsstrikesback@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, at vhsstrikesback. If you do want to support us, please get over to patreon.com/thevhsstrikesback. So the roll call of honour for today is, and a big thank you to Lee, Helen, Dylan, Stephen, Trent, Dan, Justin, Susan, Timothy, Matt, Heath, Kent, Lucky Lulu Green, Herb, Jax, Math, Blake, John Hammond, and Mr. Tony Farina. So thank you so much, guys, for all your help and all your support over the last couple of years, and everyone who supports the podcast, past and present. We do appreciate it. So, Dave, I have been looking at some quotes, but I think I'm just going to hand it over to you. What are you going to take us out with today?
You know, I will come back to the quote thing, but I do have to just let you peek behind the camera here. So, fucking Google knows me too well, right? So I was just
mind us, yeah.
I'm convinced I saw Jimmy Kimmel in that trailer. And so I types in to Google, Bottle Rocket, Jimmy, and Google's like, Savile? Like, oh, fuck off, Google. I'm sure I searched for other Jimmys for, you know, funny things, but, well, not that funny. But anyway, Chris, no idea. I just love the story, like, say, for Math. So probably if you are going to get a movie out and watch it with your parents, you know, if you're younger, or watch it with your kids, probably check the back of the video if there is any mention of incest, and probably avoid that one. But Chris, thank you very much. It's been a lot of fun this morning. I shall speak to you next time. Thanks to all our listeners out there. Thanks to all our supporters, and we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we gonna do now?
What are we gonna do? Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's odd.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
Ah! Ah! Get to the chopper!
One ring to go.
All right. Ding, ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Come on. Ain't so bad. Ain't enough. Come on.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid
fool. Yeah, maybe you're stupid.
You're crazy.
I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 months.